If doctors, nurses, and grocery store clerks can wear a mask for 10 or 12 hour shifts, you can wear a mask for an hour or less when you go to the store. Do your part. Mask up, America.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, September 17th. I'm Charlie Turner for the Wall Street Journal. An alarming number of Americans are in danger of losing their homes, despite a program that lets them delay their mortgage payments.
There are a million people who have, for whatever reason, stopped paying their mortgage. They're at least 30 days behind or delinquent, and they are not in a forbearance plan.
Our reporter Andrew Ackerman will explain forbearance, what it is, how it works, and why so many homeowners in need aren't taking advantage of it. That's after the break.
I work out every day. COVID won't kill me.
I'm 24. COVID won't kill me.
I have antibodies. COVID won't kill me.
It's been a long week. COVID won't kill me.
I'm 25. COVID won't kill me.
I'm partying outside. COVID won't kill me.
I don't need to wear a mask around my friends. COVID won't kill me.
I'm 23. COVID won't kill me.
If I haven't gotten it yet, COVID won't kill me.
I'm young. COVID won't kill me.
Famous last words. Don't let them be yours. Socially distance. Mask up, America.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Early on in the pandemic, Congress set up a program to protect homeowners with mortgages from losing their homes. But about a million borrowers have fallen through this safety net. Missed payments and late fees are putting them at greater risk, and that's further heightening fears of an eviction and foreclosure crisis. With more on why so many borrowers have fallen behind on their mortgages despite this relief program, we're joined by our reporter, Andrew Ackerman. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Charlie. Thanks for having me.
Andrew, first, tell us how this program known as forbearance works.
It's unique to this crisis. Forbearance in the past has been used in very narrowly for hurricanes or very regional disasters. This time, it's being used to keep as many people nationally in their homes as possible who are harmed by the virus. And it just means you can skip up to a year of payments on your mortgage and then make them up later somehow. There's a little bit of a complication because it applies to all federally guaranteed loans, which are most of the market, Fannie, Freddie, or FHA-backed loans. There is a market for private loans or loans that aren't backed by the federal government. And some of those lenders are offering these forbearances and others aren't. But for most of the market, people can get this.
Okay, so when we talk about 1 million homeowners falling through the cracks, what exactly does that mean?
What that means is that there are a million people who have, for whatever reason, stopped paying their mortgage. They're at least 30 days behind or delinquent, and they are not in a forbearance plan. This includes both borrowers with a Fannie and Freddie loan, as well as people who have sort of a private loan, a loan from a portfolio loan with a bank or something, you know, securitized in the private markets.
Well, don't they know about the forbearance program? Are they scared to participate? What exactly is going on here?
That's a good question. And I think the data is kind of murky, but the from talking to lenders, some consumers, some counselors, the picture that we have is that a lot of people don't understand what forbearance means. So they don't really know what their options are. The other thing is that early on, especially early on, and still somewhat today, the messaging from the lenders was, you can take a forbearance, but you're going to have to pay all of your missed payments in one lump sum at the end of the forbearance. And that's really scared people. The scripts that the mortgage companies go through with people on the phone have changed significantly. And there's a lot more outreach and there's education efforts that some of the lenders are trying, that consumer groups and some lenders kind of say it doesn't go far enough. They'd like better marketing. But those are the two factors. There's this uncertainty it's an unknown thing. And there's this fear that people have to pay everything back at once. And that's just not feasible for most people.
Why don't you describe for us the process of trying to obtain forbearance? How hard is it?
It shouldn't be that hard. There's no documentation requirements. You literally call your servicer and you say you can't pay and you want a forbearance. And they're supposed to, the law, there's a rescue bill from March, it's called the CARES Act. It says that people are entitled to up to a year. It says 6 months that can be renewed for another 6 months. You have to ask for it. a lot of the lenders have been offering customers short of 6 months at a time. They've been doing 3-month forbearances that can be extended another 3 months and then twice more beyond the initial 6 months. It just kind of depends on the lenders. It's supposed to be really easy to get. It's still confusing. Even we've talked to people who got the forbearance and they were also getting letters from their lender saying that they were at risk of foreclosure because they've missed all these payments. And so you get these contradictory messages from your lender. Those lenders are saying, hey, just ignore these letters, these contradictory letters. We are required to send them by state or federal law and just know that you've got a forbearance. But we still talk to people who said that that kept them up at night.
Well, I was wondering, for instance, if people were jumping through hoops trying to find information about forbearance on the telephone.
Well, that has also been a significant issue. If you talk to counselors and some of the consumers we talked to, they would say that, I mean, they describe this as kind of a bureaucratic nightmare, to be honest. Everything has happened kind of quickly. If you talk to the lenders, they say they're moving to kind of implement this forbearance plan on a scale that's never been envisioned for forbearance before. So they're hiring people to take calls. Their end result is, at least initially, the hold times were significant. People were waiting a long time to get someone on the phone. When they did get people on the phone, you know, their calls might be dropped or they'd be sent to voicemail at the servicer and then they wouldn't hear back. So you have to kind of call the main number again. Unfortunately, a lot of the servicers, the way they're set up, you can't just call one representative at the servicer. So you just kind of are dealing with somebody different every time. They're following a script. So what they can say can be kind of very tightly controlled. And if it's filled with jargon, people who aren't very sophisticated or even people who are sophisticated and just don't know a lot about the mortgage market, you know, it can be very confusing. These terms it's not intuitive.
Are there a significant number of borrowers who've been in forbearance but have defaulted anyway?
That's the peculiar thing. There are significant numbers, or what I think it's fair to characterize as significant. There's about 250,000 people who were in forbearance at one point since the pandemic. They're now no longer in forbearance, and they are still past due on their loan. And it sort of begs the question, you know, we don't know why that's the case. I haven't been able to find someone situated like that, but that's what the data shows. You know, we talked to people who had experience during the last crisis in 2008, and there were always people who just the lenders couldn't reach out to. You know, they knew they were behind, they thought they were in trouble, and so they just ducked their servicer at every turn. And it's speculative, but people think that's this population kind of fits into that camp. And so there are some efforts to reach out to those people. I would also say that 250,000 is relatively small. There's 53 million mortgages in this country. 6 million people have been on forbearance at some point since the crisis started. We're down to, it's under 4 million now. Most of the people who have exited forbearance are either performing on their mortgage or they have paid off their loan. So it's an alarming number. It's relatively small in the whole universe, in the whole mortgage universe. But there is also a concern that as people kind of hit this 6-month period who still need help, that the number would increase because they won't know they actually have to request the extension, the additional 6 months.
What are the next steps to watch for in this forbearance program? What's on the horizon?
Forbearance figures overall spiked in April, May, I believe June, and they've steadily declined since the summer or late summer. And what will be interesting to watch is whether or not that trend continues or you see more people who need help. And probably if you see that, you'll see more people kind of falling through the cracks here where they don't know how to get help. That's sort of based on, I guess, the macroeconomic trends. Major companies are laying people off, tens of thousands of people. And that's, I think, a big question mark.
Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Ackerman. Thanks a lot, Andrew.
Hey, thanks for your time.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner for the Wall Street Journal.